birds is come closer. Good morning, church. Just feels there's something about Sunday, like Andrew said yesterday. It's so beautiful to be here with you guys this morning, and just this is my first time here when we've been outside, and I just love looking at God's creation as we're experiencing, as we're seeking Him, as we're pressing into Him, as we're worshiping Him. Like, it's just beautiful. And there's just such a sense of Him here right now, and just reminding us of who He is, how glorious is His faithful love, that we need Him, that He's worthy. I just have such a expectant heart for what He's doing, even in this moment, in this time together. It's been a pretty awesome week, huh? We had the online gathering, the 412 online gathering yesterday. And then this week, we began journeying together as a congregation through the book of Mark. But not just reading the book of Mark, being very intentional in how we're getting into it, seeking the Spirit to teach us and guide us with the heart of the Lord. How do we apply this truth to our lives? And just prayerfully responding day after day. And then coming together and just sharing the overflow of that. What's God speaking to you? What's He teaching you? What's He asking you to do? We've had some amazing testimonies in just this first week, and I can't wait to hear more. And I was so encouraged yesterday when Andrew mentioned the need for each one of us to dig our own wells. To dig our own wells, to be rooted in Jesus on our own. Because there is even this temptation that now that we're meeting together as a group, that we can rely on Derek's well or Mike's well or the preacher's well. Or in our devotional time, the daily devotional well of somebody else who dug that well with the Lord. But it's so important that we're digging our own wells with the Lord. And that's what I love about what we're doing with this here journaling, is we're getting in the Word led by His Spirit and just saying, God, I need You. Teach me. Feed me. Give me everything that I need. And I honestly think that this journey we're going through these 4 weeks, it could be a massive milestone for each one of us personally and for us collectively as this church body. But I also realize that we could so easily miss what God wants to build into us through these 4 weeks, that He wants us to carry well beyond these 4 weeks. We could so easily miss it. There is so much warfare happening right now in the world right now. The world wants your attention. The world wants your desires. The world wants you to agree with it. The world wants to distract you. The world wants you to focus on things other than the Lord. And I'm reminded of a parable Jesus told in Luke chapter 14. He spoke of the great banquet. And the master had invited these guests to the great banquet. And the banquet was finally ready. So he sent his servant out and said, "Tell them the banquet is ready. Tell them to come." And one by one, each person, each invited guest, showed what their true priorities were at that point in time. And they began to give excuses. "Well, I cannot come. I've bought a field. I need to go look at that field that I bought. Oh, I have these new oxen. I need to test them out and see what they can produce for me. I cannot come to your banquet." Or even, "I just got married, and therefore, I cannot come to your banquet." And I feel like the Lord is giving us a similar invitation in this journey we're taking together with him in these 4 weeks. An invitation to seek Him, to experience Him, to press into Him, to encounter Him in ways that we may have never even done before. He's laying that invitation before us. And Henry, I love your word. The question we have to ask ourselves in light of that invitation is, are we hungering and thirsting for Him, for His righteousness, for his ways? Is that the hunger and thirst inside of us? Because, man, this world is trying to infiltrate our desires. And we could so quickly and easily become like those people in the parable and just say, Lord, thanks for the invitation, but I'm too busy with this or that, but I'm too tired, but it's too early, but it's too late, but it doesn't look the way I want it to, but it doesn't look the way it looked last week. But Lord, I'm sorry, I can't accept your invitation. And over these past few months, we've looked at what it means to be a disciple of Christ. You know, to call ourselves Christians, biblically speaking, means we are a disciple of Christ. And when you continue in Luke 14, Jesus doesn't leave any unclarity as to what that looks like. He says, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, yes, even your own life. In comparison to him. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple, he says. And he continues, he says, if you do not pick up your own cross, he carried such an amazing cross for us. He carried a cross we could not carry. But he says, if you do not pick up your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. In church, we've been given this divine reset. As the heavens and earth are being shaken, to really just search our hearts and see what is that desire? What is that one desire? Is there just one desire within us? The psalmist in Psalm 27, he says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on his beauty, to seek him in his temple. Is that your one thing? Is that the one thing that you're seeking, that you're asking, that you're looking for? This should be what consumes us. It consumes our thoughts, our actions, our desires. Just seeking his face with an obedient, humble, grateful heart. It must be your one thing. I just love how we're meeting together in these small discipleship groups during these 4 weeks and just sharing about who Jesus is, what he's revealing in his word, what he's asking for us to do, faithful testimonies of his faithful love in our lives, and just sharing these things amongst one another. Oh, but church, I pray that these types of conversations don't end when the 4 weeks are over. Jesus says in Matthew 12 that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And church, if Jesus is the center of our hearts and lives, if he is our one desire, if we're fixing our eyes on him, if we're seeking to obey him, if we're seeking to become like him, then our hearts will be full of him. And our mouth will speak of him, his kingdom, his ways, his faithfulness, his glory. This is what should dominate our speech and conversation at all times, not just in our meetings, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. And that's really the reality test of what's in our heart when we look at what is the overflow coming out of our mouths. What do we speak about the most? Are we truly crucified to the world and the world to us? Or are we speaking most of the time about things of the world? Food, sports, COVID-19. Where's Jesus, the overflow coming out of our mouths, revealing that yes, this is what we're fixing our eyes on. This is what we're meditating on. This is what's consuming us. Oh, and that's why it's so important for us to be hearing from the Lord through his word. Our hearts are so deceptive. In Hebrews 4, it tells us the word of God, it's alive and active, and it will judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. So we have to come to him in his word and let the Holy Spirit teach us, convict us, shape us, guide us to become more like him, to see him rightly. Matthew 4, we just came off of a one-day fast, and we read in Mark 1 how Jesus went out to the wilderness for 40 days and fasted. And the devil came to tempt him. And in the book of Matthew, in the same story, we see that the devil tried to tempt him with food. And Jesus' response was, "Man shall not live on food alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Is that the way that we view this? Is that the way that we view this? Do we seek this? Is this a priority in our lives? Is hearing from him through his living word a priority in our lives, that we are actually dependent on it to live, that I cannot get through this life without your word, Lord, without hearing from you? Is that our heart posture towards the word? As I prepared this message this morning, the Lord reminded me of the letter to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. And he told that church that you're neither hot nor cold. And the good news is they weren't cold, right? But they were lukewarm. They weren't hot. They weren't consumed by him. They weren't zealous for him. They hadn't put everything they have into him. His love, his faithful love, he said, I discipline those whom I love. And I feel like he reminds us just in his loving way, and his kindness leads us to repentance. But he does say, be earnest and repent and return to him. And then it continues into that well-known verse that he stands at the door of the church and he knocks. He says, will you open and let me in so I can come dine with you, come be with you. And it can be the way that it's supposed to be in our relationship. I just feel, church, that just everything that he's doing and speaking in this time, that we have this opportunity, each one of us, to come before him and just say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, Lord. And just take away anything that's not of you. Take away any desire. That's not you. Take away anything in me that doesn't reflect you. So that after you've taken it all away, the only thing that's left is you. Oh, Lord, help us. Alex Gulk said, Lord, we need you. We need you. And we come to you this morning with hearts full of praise, praising you that we can even be here together to look at each one another's faces, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to focus on you, to worship you, to give you your praise, to remember your faithfulness, to remember our need for you, Lord, and we confess our need for you. You're everything, Lord. You are all in all. You're all we need. Lord, stir up a passion and a zeal within us. Stir our hearts, Lord. We want to burn hot for you. We want you to be pleased, but most of all, we want to see you, to know you, to love you, to enjoy you. Not just in eternity, Lord, but now. Your kingdom now, Lord. Before we see you face to face, Lord. So this is our heart cry, Lord. Oh, let us just submit ourselves at your feet. Surrender anything that we may have been holding on to, Lord. Give it all away. Just give it all away till all that's left is you, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I wonder if we can just all stand this morning. I feel we need to just respond, just in your hearts, where you are this morning, just to that word. You know, let's just take a moment just to be quiet before the Lord and just reflect on what has been said. And I'm not going to ask for a response other than just be quiet before the Lord and let the that His Word is singing to our hearts as we challenge this morning to have our focus on Him. Just be quiet before the Lord this morning. Yeah, Lord Jesus, may You be our one desire. Father, may our lives be lived before an audience of one. Father, I pray, put a guard before our mouths in the way that we speak, Lord, about others. Father, Lord, we pray that You just fill us this morning. Give us a desire for Your Word, Father. May You be our one desire, Lord Jesus. God, take the whole world, give me Jesus. And then just, before we close, you might have wondered why you've come this morning. Why am I here? And over the many years of serving the Lord, if there's something that I have realized, that nothing ever happens by chance. You never just come because you felt to come. God in his love and His mercy and His care will prompt you this morning to be here this morning. The Lord will guide you to a place. Even if you don't know Him, the Lord speaks to His children and to not His children. He speaks to those that know Him and those that don't know Him. And if you're wondering why you're here this morning, you're here because Jesus says, come unto me. Jesus says, come unto me. I did a funeral, it was last week or the week before, of a gentleman. And I stood there and I quoted the scripture in John 14 that says, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In this time, there's so many opinions and so many voices about what is true and what is not true. And even Andrew said it on the 412. We live in a time where you don't actually know what's true. What's released on the media, you don't know if it's truth anymore. That's the reality of it. But we have this one constant that Jesus Christ says, I am truth. So for me in my life, truth is no longer a belief or a thought process or awesome. I believe that. What you believe doesn't change what truth is, because truth is a person.
Amen.
Truth Amen. Is the person of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're questioning in your life and you are seeking God in your life and you're wondering why you've come and why you're here, speak to somebody. Speak to somebody about that. Come speak to one of us elders, Pete, myself, Scott, just come speak to one of us, one of the leaders. And tell us that you're looking, that you're seeking, because God wants to reach out to you this morning. And I feel to leave it there. Normally I would make an altar call, but I just feel to leave. I feel I need to say that this morning. Because life is short, that's true. When I stood at that gentleman's funeral and I realized that I was in community with him 4 weeks ago and today he's no longer with us. Just remember my last words I said to him in the community, in Lausanne and Reynolds community. I realized life is short. So let's make sure that every one of our hearts are prepared and ready to meet the Lord. Amen. We're going to end in just a song of worship. Simone, if you can just lead us. I feel not a happy, not a theme, but just a worship song. Something, I just feel this.